You're listening to Living Full Out with Nancy Soleri. As a professional motivational speaker, Nancy can assist you to blow through your setbacks and start living full out. If you have an inspirational story you want to share, email us at connect@livingfullout.com. Once again, here's Nancy.
And welcome to the Living Full Out Show. My name is Nancy Soleri. So happy to be here with you today. Now, we are going to be talking about, you know, sharing personal heartbreaks with others. But a personal heartbreak, I want you to understand, can be something traumatic. It can be something heavy. It can be overwhelming. But it can also be a heartbreak if you've lost a pet, you know, if you have lost a job, if you feel disconnected from others. All of that's a heartbreak. But what connects us is that we all have had similar heartbreaks. Not exact, but we can all really empathize with each other. We can soothe each other. We can be comforting. And sometimes that's just being willing to be vulnerable and let others in and know what you're going through. Also, I want to make sure you stay with us in our next segment. We're going to have our inspirational guest, Barbara Legere, who's going to talk about, you know, her early years of needing to have different abortions, two of them, but yet finally choosing to have her son, Kevin. But he battled with mental health his entire life and unfortunately ended his life at age 29. And just the walk that she had to go through, that heartbreak, but how she wanted to really channel that pain into a legacy for Kevin, her son. It's a very touching story. And remember that if you want to hear today's show again, go to livingfullout.com. All of our episodes will be right there for you. And chances are there's one that will identify with what you or someone in your life is going through. We want to make sure that we empower you, but also give you the resources you need to live full out. Now, I'm getting word from our producer that we do have a listener on the line. We're going to go say hello to them. Hello, welcome to the Living Full Out Show.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi, thank you for joining us. How can I help you today?
Well, I had a question that has to do with conflict between two people, primarily. I experience these times as pretty stressful for various reasons, and I guess my real sticking point comes when emotions run really high. And my question has to do with how do I honor that moment when I feel a surprising outburst of anger? How do I honor that anger, but not, you know, throw it on somebody else? I experience it also from other people, and I see it happening all around me where people, there's rage, you know, when people are driving, or, you know, when there's homelessness on the streets and people are upset, you know, there's a time when emotions run really high, and how those are real emotions that I don't know should be necessarily, you know, kept down, but also they're too strong. They're too strong for everybody, and can be really scary. So I'm wondering what might be the coping mechanism.
Yeah, do you find, I'm just curious, do you find that with other people, it's the other people that are angry and you're the recipient of that anger, that negative energy? Or do you find that you are the one that's bottling up and exploding?
Both. I have experienced it from, I'm just curious about it from kind of from both perspectives. I can speak in the eye and I can talk about my time though.
Okay. So here's the thing to know about the folks that are bringing negativity your way. So the greatest gift that you can give any one person in this world is to listen to them, to hear them. Now, if they're ranting and it's really overwhelming and you just have an expiration on how much of it you can take, that might be 30 seconds, that might be 5 minutes. And don't let them, you know, obviously stomp on you, walk over you. Don't let them, you know, clutter up your mind with their toxic mindset. But at the same time, simple words like, I hear you. Not that you understand. You don't have to understand their point of view, but I hear you. Yes, I hear you. Yep, I hear you. People just want to be heard. Now, at some point, you have to segue yourself for your own mental health sake. You have to segue yourself out of that situation. And you want to say something like, you know, I just want you to know that I really do hear you. And, you know, thank you for sharing your thoughts. I got to go, you know, whatever that transition is. But you just want to stick to a very simple script. A lot of times people will bait you into wanting to debate, wanting to get your opinion, wanting for you to join their bandwagon. You don't have to. The simple word of I hear you. Yep, I hear you. Doesn't mean you agree. Do you see how simple that can be?
I do. I think the transition away is the tricky part.
Well, that you're right. And that transition away can't be anything. It can't be about them. It can't be about what they've just vulnerably shared with you. You have to find some transition that it seems natural. I hear you. Gosh, I really hear you. You know, I want you to know I really hear you. I actually have to take this call. I hear you, you know, just stay with that. Okay. Right. Now on the other side of it, when you are feeling like it's bottling up for you and somebody is pushing your buttons, you know, you have to have the depth that you can only speak in the I tone. So you can't say to somebody, you should feel this, or why don't you feel this? Or can't you see? Nothing out of your mouth should be in the you tone. It can only be in the I tone. I am so fed up. I don't understand why we haven't cured homelessness. I feel like, you know, why haven't we, you know, cured cancer by now? I. All you can do is speak in the I. You just can't go back to them with a you. You should. Don't you? Because that is like pointing a finger at somebody. So, but when you speak in the I tone, you're only speaking your truth. And then you have to find a way to also feel heard yourself, but then know when enough's enough. Because as you are feeling that frenzy inside you, kind of like a soda can, right? When you take a soda can and you shake it aggressively and you pop its top, what does it do?
Right, it explodes.
It explodes, right. So you can't get yourself to that place. So letting yourself have some I moments to those that will listen, you know, talking to yourself in the car, perfectly fine. I moments in the shower, positive affirmations. You know, if faith is something that you do, then that is a good thing to turn to. But you have to find a way to find positivity to come in your life. Homelessness is a problem. Let's just take that. But at the same time, rather than looking at it and saying, you know, why haven't we solved it? Dig in the trenches and get in there and make a difference to one homeless person. You might not solve the whole problem, but if you just do one thing for one person, that's a game changer. And now your new words, your new dialogue is, I don't know why we haven't solved homelessness yet, but I decided to go volunteer. And in fact, I'm going to go Saturday and help serve breakfast. Do you see how that's a switch? It's taking what is negative. It's taking helplessness and taking the power back and saying, I'm not going to speak helplessness. I'm not going to speak toxic. I'm going to take the power back and I'm going to give positivity away. I'm going to be the first person to take that step and make a difference. We can't control everybody else. Those people that you give the yous to, we can't control them. We can't control what our political figures do, but we can control our ability to make a difference. We can choose our I words and what we want to say. Does that help?
Well, I so appreciate how you've switched that moment, because it at first it feels like a fake it till you make it, but it actually is deeper than that. It feels like a more powerful statement. I appreciate that.
Well, and here's the good news. You're already there. Today, you walk away from this conversation with, I understand. That's all you got to say. You walk away from this conversation talking in the I tone. And then you walk away from this conversation being one person who's going to go out there and change another person's life, one at a time. And you can do that. So thank you, though, for calling in and being that voice for those others. Okay?
Thank you, Nancy. Thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome. And for everybody, we're going to be coming right back. Today, we are talking about sharing our personal heartbreaks, you know, with others so that we can all grow together and learn from each other. And talking to that caller was a perfect example. So stay with us. We're going to be coming up with Barbara Legere. And of course, her topic, her story is sensitive and it's hard to talk about suicide. But you know what? We're brave folks and we are living full out. We'll be back.
Life looks a little different. During these times, we're doing our best to keep our minds and bodies strong. And getting a flu shot helps us stay healthy, so we don't miss out on what matters. Like having game night at home. Yeah, can't do that while sick with the flu. Now imagine family movie night that your daughter can't live without. Well, that's ruined. And don't forget your uncle's socially distanced cookout. See? That's why it's important to be at our strongest. Every year, millions of people in the U.S. get the flu. Especially now, no one has time to miss out on moments that matter. So get your flu shot. Find out more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Watch out!
You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nFamily Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A teenager. Learning the lingo.
Today, I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt US Kids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Living Full Out with Nancy Soleri. As a life coach, Nancy can teach you how to stay strong under pressure and work through challenges you face. Being legally blind, Nancy inspires others to be resilient in overcoming obstacles and live full out. You can ask Nancy for advice in your life on relationships, finance, business, health, and more. Just call in at 800-333-0001. Once again, that's 800-333-0001. Now, here's Nancy.
Thank you for joining us today. My name is Nancy Soleri, and this is the Living Full Out Show. And today we're talking about sharing personal heartbreaks with others. And while that may seem, you know, very scary, and, you know, it's hard to verbalize those hard times in our life, and will that people judge us? Will they accept us? Will we relive the pain all over again? But what if our words, our stories, impact someone in making a better decision? What if, you know, our stories, our tales, are able to help navigate someone through their hardships, their pains? Well, we look for inspirational guests who demonstrate what it means to live full out, really in such a beautiful way. And today we have brought you Barbara Legere, and honestly, she has had many different losses in her life, and we're going to talk about those. But listen in, because she is such a diamond in this world, and I don't say that lightheartedly. What she's going to talk about today is pain that is raw. The loss of her son is only about 2 years ago. That's 2 years new. So stay with us. Barbara, welcome to the show. So happy to have you.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, and Barbara, like I said to the audience, you actually have had many different losses, and losses are not always the same. And sometimes we can't even really verbalize them or anchor them until years later. But your first loss came when you were 15. You know, you were daddy's girl. You and your dad were very close, and he died of lung cancer. And my dad actually died of lung cancer too, so I understand that pain. The thing is, it really puts you, you know, out there where you were kind of acting out and, you know, advancing yourself probably earlier than you should have with boys and drugs and drinking. And your mom just kind of turned a blind eye to it. She didn't really, you know, give much care to what you were doing. Can you share with us that time of feeling so disconnected?
Yes, I remember that time well. And looking back on it now, I think I was just trying to cover my pain and avoid feeling the loss that I felt from my dad. It was very uncomfortable for me to talk about it. My friends didn't want to talk about it. So I just tried to ignore it. I tried to have fun. I tried to fill that place in my heart in very inappropriate ways that ended up making me feel worse, not better.
Mm-hmm. Well,
my mom just did not understand me. So,
well, and you had some depression growing up. You had obviously self-esteem, you know, disattachment issues with your mom and the loss of your dad. But the depression, how did that show up for you in your early years?
That showed up in just feeling anxious and scared. I remember school. I hated going to school because I felt socially awkward. I didn't like math, and that made me so just hating school. I mean, it also showed up in I would actually vomit if I had to do math homework. And my parents finally took me to the doctor to see why that was happening. And he said it was from depression. It was just a very lonely time for me because I didn't know what was going on.
Well, and with all of that chaos that came into your world, the chaos being, you know, early, you know, sexual activity with boys, the drugs, the alcohol, just kind of putting yourself in that party zone, that is chaos in its own way. You did have a couple of abortions. You eventually, though, found stability at 25 when you started working somewhere full-time with a, kind of a family environment, and they were really good to you, and a lady there even took you under your wing, under her wing, and you know, you met a man named Tom, and you got pregnant. Now, why did you decide to keep that baby versus the others?
Well, when I got pregnant, I was 30 years old. So the other times I had been a teenager, I'd been very young. And I realized that even though I hadn't planned on having a baby, and I really did not want to have a baby at that time, I thought, I need to do this. I believe in a woman's right to choose. But for me at that time, I just felt like I could not have the baby.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I chose.
Well, and Kevin came into your world, a good boy at that, right? He was a good boy.
Yes.
And you know, Kevin, though, early on did show signs of feeling disconnected, awkward, kind of like you did. Now, part of that was because at 8, he broke his leg in several places due to an accident and, you know, had to be in a wheelchair and, you know, wasn't able to play at recess with the others. But he really went to a dark place early. I mean, even talking about wanting to stab himself at like 5, you know, where did that come from?
Oh, that was completely shocking when that happened. His dark place seemed to be coming just from within him. And I'm not, you know, I still to this day, I'm not sure why he felt that way other than he had clinical depression. He was a fun kid. I mean, he laughed and played like everyone else, but when he was alone, that's when he really felt the darkness. And he was even hearing voices at a certain point in time when he was a kid, and it scared me. His teacher noticed, and that's when I took him for psychiatric evaluation.
And did they give him a diagnosis at that young age?
The diagnosis was anxiety and depression. And I didn't want to medicate him because I just thought he's just a little kid. So I realized I'd had depression for years. My doctor had been trying to get me to take an antidepressant. So I decided to take it and see what happened. And it really lifted the dark cloud. It changed my life. So I realized this is what Kevin needs, and we started him on antidepressants, and it did make a change. It did help him.
And, you know, the thing is I think that's really important that you tried it first. I mean, you had the same, similar depression as him, and, you know, I give you a lot of credit for doing that, making sure that you tried it first and didn't just give your son something. You loved him. You wanted him to feel good. And it's good that for that amount of time, he did find a remedy, something to help alleviate some of that pain, some of that anxiety. And Barbara, I want you to stay with us because obviously there's much, much more to your story. For everyone listening, you know, today we are talking about suicide. And I want everybody to know that if you are having those thoughts, you know, do reach out to us here at the Living Full Out Show, or definitely call your local 911 or hotline, because we want to make sure that you do get help. We are simply sharing this story today because it does turn out to be very inspirational, but I just want everyone to stay healthy. I'm Nancy Soleri, this is the Living Full Out Show. We'll be right back.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. In the gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today.
The only thing I didn't learn
is
why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Nancy Soleri, certified life and business coach. I want to invite you to the Personal Development Bootcamp. During the bootcamp, we're going to be looking at taking those insecurities that you have and getting rid of them. We're also going to look at ways in which you can thrive and live a life full of purpose. Go to livingfullout.com/bootcamp, livingfullout.com/bootcamp to sign up. I believe in you, and here's to you living your life full out.
They'll challenge your authority. They'll try to break your will. They'll push you to the edge of your sanity. Because that's what kids do. But this car is your territory, not theirs. Defend it. Who makes the payments? Who cleans it? Who drives it? You do. That's who. And in here, your word is law. So when you say you won't move until everyone's buckled up, you won't budge an inch. Until you hear that click. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. For more information, visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at pestworld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
I get it, slip it, cuff it, check it twice a day.
I get it, slip it, cuff it, check it in the morning and before dinner.
I get it, slip it, cuff it, check it, and share it with my doctor.
Nearly 1 in 2 U.S. adults have high blood pressure. That's why it's important to self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. It starts with a monitor.
Now that I know my blood pressure numbers, I talked with my doctor. We're getting those numbers down.
Get it, slip it, cuff it, check. Talk to doctor now and share it.
Be next to talk to your doctor about your blood pressure numbers. Get down with your blood pressure. Self-monitoring is power. Learn more at manageyourbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association. In partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
You're listening to Living Full Out with Nancy Soleri. With Nancy's expertise, you'll learn how to embrace your potential and strive for success. If you have a question or need further support, send us an email at connect@livingfullout.com. Now, here's Nancy.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I am Nancy Soleri, and this is the Living Full Out Show. And today we're talking about sharing personal heartbreaks with others. And we do that as a way of purpose in our own lives for the losses and the lessons we've learned. But truly, it can meaningfully impact another person and help them to make better decisions. So we're continuing our interview today with Barbara Legere, and I'd like to welcome Barbara back to the show.
Yeah.
Hi, Barbara. So we talked earlier about your son Kevin's depression and how that started at an early age. Now, Kevin did find a pocket of time, a brief pocket, where he was happy. You know, he grew, he lost weight, he was doing wrestling, but he also started drinking. He started doing drugs. And along the way, you learned of, you know, his marijuana use and drinking, but you didn't know he was doing heroin. And when you found out that he was doing heroin, he actually did come to you. Your sister kind of forced it out of him to you. But what did he say, and how did you not know? Were there any signs that you missed?
There were no signs that I missed, because when you do heroin, you don't necessarily look like you're high. It's not like doing meth where you're very busy and kind of hyperactive. It's more like you become very mellow. And since I'd never saw him right after he used, I never saw him nodding out, and I didn't see the signs. So I was absolutely shocked when he told me that he was using heroin. And when he came to me that night, he had his girlfriend with him, and he said, "Mom, I really need to stop, because if I don't, she's going to break up with me." So that was his motivation at that moment. I didn't even know heroin was still around, and I didn't know what to do. So he told me, you know, he was going to stop, and I naively believed him because I didn't know any better at the time. And I don't think he knew any better, because he hadn't tried to prior to that.
Well, throughout time, you know, we're talking, you know, 17, 18, all the way to when he passed at 29, he had been in and out of different rehabs. He went to jail. He went to prison. And you had really put on hold dating. You had put on hold your life. You know, you put anything on your credit card that he needed to pay for things, to pay off debts for him in from prison. Just your life was all about Kevin, helping Kevin, keeping him alive, worrying about him at night. And I just can only imagine the emotional toll that that took over the years. And there was a time close to his death, you know, at 27, where he really hammered you for like 8 hours. He had hit his wall, and he wanted permission from you to let go. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, that was one of the hardest days of my life. Kevin came to me and wanted me to tell him that it was okay if he chose to take his own life. Of course, any mother would say no, and I did say no for 8 hours. He badgered me. He followed me around all day. He would not let up. And I realized that until I said okay, he would not leave me alone. But I think what Kevin was really saying, he wasn't asking for permission. He was trying to find out if I would be okay if it happened. He wanted to know that I would be able to go on with my life if it happened. Fortunately, after that conversation, he didn't bring it up for another 2 years. So I thought he just got it out of his system and he was going to be okay.
Well, and 2 years later, another night you'll never forget, you know, you had heard him crying that morning. You went in to comfort him. He had no shirt on, but you got to hold him, which he didn't ever want to be held. And you talked it through, and you thought, okay, we got through another, you know, sad morning. But what happened that day?
20 minutes after that conversation where I was hugging him and telling him I loved him, I left his room and I went downstairs and sitting at the kitchen table, and I heard a gunshot, and I immediately knew what had happened. I flew up the stairs, and I got to him, and I was standing there and saw, you know, with my eyes what he had done, and I was in shock. Even though he had warned me, it was still shocking, and at that moment, my life changed forever. It was just the most heartbreaking thing that you can imagine.
Yeah. And I'm so sorry, Barbara. And I know that you had been a gun owner. You had shooting guns as a family had been something you had done as a hobby and a passion. And unfortunately, that day he did use one of your guns, an antique gun, and on top of that. And I know you're not a gun owner today. You've gotten rid of all of them. You did decide, though, to honor one of his wishes, which was to have an open casket funeral. Why was that so important to him?
I think it was because when he was about 19, he lost one of his closest friends to an overdose. it was the first loss that he experienced. I can't even tell you how many other friends he's lost. I know of six personally that I knew very well, and their death affected me a lot too. But this was the first one. And this young man was in an open casket. And we were at the funeral, and I think something about it, about everyone looking at this young man, Kevin thought, that's what I want. I want to be in a nice suit. I want to look like that when I pass. I mean, I think it's a very unusual thought for a young man to have. But even then, he was thinking about his own funeral.
Well, and you honored that wish. And I know you think of Kevin every day. And this only happened several years ago, so it's still fresh. But, you know, you are sharing his story today. And we think of Kevin today and every day. And, you know, as you forge out there and you talk about mental health and you talk about suicide and you share his story, and I can only imagine the amount of courage and strength that you have to muster to do that, but you are doing it. And you even wrote a book that, you know, you and Kevin had hoped to write together. What did that mean to finally, you know, honor that next wish, you know, even though he couldn't write it with you, to channel, you know, his passion, the words that he would have said to another addict?
Oh, it meant the world to me. I think it also had a huge impact on helping me through that very first year, because I started writing it 3 months after he was gone. But to be able to share his story in a way that would help other people understand what depression and anxiety looks like, and to understand what addiction does to a person and how it changes everything about their life. I'm hoping to reduce some of the stigma against those two things and bring some compassion, and also to warn other parents. I write a lot about that in the book, and just to give them an idea that no parent should say, not my kid, because it could happen to any family. I've seen it happen to so many families. And yeah, that gave me a lot of satisfaction writing the book.
Yeah. Well, and you are doing that. You are, you know, honoring Kevin daily with sharing and writing. And, you know, I want to thank you so much for sharing this story. And, you know, I know that you and him are truly kindred spirits. You talk to him nightly, and, you know, he's always right there beside you. And, you know, truly today, this interview is in his honor. And we hope that somebody listening today, you know, they do seek the help they need. And also, you know, I want to just touch on one other thing, Barbara. You know, a lot of times when people hit moments where they're lost, they pray, they ask God, you know, please help me. And although you believe in God and you believe in heaven, you know, you have kind of felt a little bit like your faith has wavered over time, because, you know, those prayers that you had didn't come true. Do you still feel that way today?
I don't feel that way as much as I did when Kevin was still here. And for, you know, 13 years, I begged God to help him, to take away his suffering, to take away his pain, and to give him a chance at life. Now that that prayer wasn't answered, I realized that, you know, obviously not all prayers are answered. And I see that, I know it sounds, I'm writing a new book about what to say to someone in grief. And one of my things is not to say they're no longer suffering. Yet, I really believe that, and that he is no longer suffering. And that brings me a lot of comfort. And I've shown myself that I can move on. I can do something with my life. I do have a purpose. And that has helped me with the feelings that my prayers went unanswered.
Well,
God does have a plan for us.
He does. And you know what, Barbara? Even your dad would be so proud of his little girl. You know, I know the road was bumpy, but, you know, what was your dad's name?
Gerald.
See, even for him today, this show is an honor of him. And you know, I want to thank you again for sharing your story, because, again, it's a hard one, all those losses. What does living full out mean to you?
It means every day I wake up and I decide that today is the day I'm going to make the best choices. I'm going to do what I can to help other people. When I feel sad, I'm going to allow myself to feel the feelings, feel the grief, but also I cherish the memories of Kevin, and I feel so blessed that he was my son and he brought me so much joy. I love reaching out to other people. So for me, that's what it means. Reaching out to others, listening, being there, and hopefully bringing comfort to other parents.
Well, you do that every day. Thank you, Barbara. Honestly, you're just so sweet, and I appreciate your time today, and we'll be praying for you, okay? Thank you so much. And
thank you, Nancy.
For everybody listening, it is about sharing our personal heartbreak so that we can help others, so be there for others. So I am Nancy Soleri. This is the Living Full Out Show. We'll be coming right back.
To some people, the sound of a baby babbling doesn't mean much. But that's not necessarily true. By 6 months, they're combining vowels and consonants. By 9 months, they're trying out different kinds of sounds. And by 12 months, their babbling is beginning to take on some meaning. Especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Early screening and intervention can make a lifetime of difference and unlock a world of possibilities. Take the first step at autismspeaks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with a sun protection factor, or SPF, of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. UVA rays age the skin, UVB rays burn, and both cause cancer. But the perfect sunscreen doesn't count if you use it wrong. Don't need sunscreen on a cloudy day? Wrong. 80% of UV rays still get through the haze. Only use sunscreen at the beach? Nope. Anytime you're outside, UV rays attack the skin, so you need protection. And you have to reapply sunscreen every 2 hours. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equal healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Right now, our country feels divided, but there's a place where people are coming together.
I gotta tell you, I was nervous to talk to someone so different than me.
Me too, but I'm glad we are.
Love Has No Labels and One Small Step are helping people with different political views, beliefs, and life experiences come together through conversation, and it feels good.
Wow, your story is so...
Interesting?
Yeah.
When people actually sit down, talk, and listen to one another, they can break down boundaries and connect as human beings. At lovehasnolabels.com/onesmallstep, you can listen to amazing, life-changing conversations and find simple tools to start a conversation of your own.
I know one thing. This conversation gives me hope.
It gives me a lot of hope, too.
Take a step toward bringing our country and your community together by having the courage to start a conversation at lovehasnolabels.com/onesmallstep. A message from StoryCorps, Love Has No Labels, and the Ad Council.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this, or this. Make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
When sharing personal heartbreaks with others, it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to let people in. I know it may be scary. You might be wondering, will they reject me? Will they make fun of me? Will I make them even further sad or depressed? But the thing is, I want you to take that chance, because what if you help them? You inspire them. And also, when we purge negativity, thoughts, feelings out of our body, you will feel lighter. You will be lifted up so that you can live full out.
You're listening to Living Full Out with Nancy Solari. As a professional motivational speaker, Nancy can assist you to blow through your setbacks and start living full out. If you have an inspirational story you want to share, email us at connect@livingfullout.com. Once again, here's Nancy.
Welcome back. I'm Nancy Solari, and this is the Living Full Out Show. And today we're talking about sharing personal heartbreaks with others. And I have to tell you, I feel so lucky to be on this end of the mic when we have different inspirational guests that come on and share with us all about the different crises or traumas or heartbreaks that they've gone through and how they got through it and what they learned. And what I have realized over time is, you know, we're all just doing our best. You know, we're all falling down and trying to pick ourselves up or reaching out our hand to lift someone else up. And when those guests that we have on our show share their stories, and sometimes they break down crying, and sometimes it's nervous energy throughout the interview, but they do it to inspire you to touch and make other people's lives better. But you don't have to go on a radio show. You don't have to be a guest like ours to do that same level of impact. You want to look for opportunities in your life where you can be a little bit more vulnerable, where you can let people into what you're going through. And I've been there. I mean, I remember in the early years of losing my vision, my eyesight, I was selling real estate and I was driving and I was trying to be there for my clients, do all these showings, write all these contracts, do all these open houses. But the day came where I had to give up driving. The lines on the road just literally disappeared. I just couldn't find the words to start to tell my clients I could no longer drive. After all, I had been the one driving them. Kind of a scary thought when you think about it. But the thing is, I decided, okay, you know what? What can I do? I'm going to hire an assistant, and that person can drive, and I will sit in the passenger seat or in the back seat with them and talk about the properties. And that was a great fix. Sometimes I would even say to the client, you know what? The best way to get to know a neighborhood is you drive. To be very honest, the day came when a client of mine said, you know, Nancy, I'm just wondering, you know, is everything okay with your eyesight? You seem to be a little bit more cautious or kind of feeling the walls. And in that moment, my palms were sweaty. I had this huge knot in my throat, but that was the moment. That was the moment to say something related to my eye condition. And I let it out. I let him know what was happening, what I'd been diagnosed with. He said back to me, oh, okay, well, I'm so sorry to hear that. Well, you know, don't worry. I'll drive. That's all it took. But sometimes we build it up. We build up this wall, this mountain that, you know, it's so scary to be so vulnerable. And I realize, you know, somebody going through sexual abuse is not the same as someone losing their eyesight, right? Human trafficking is not the same as, you know, somebody who has an addiction. But it's all loss. It's all trauma. It's all scary to the person experiencing it. But just as I boldly had to find those words that day, I just really encourage all of you to do the same. We are talking today, you know, about, you know, sharing our personal heartbreaks, you know, so that we can, you know, help other people. And over the time, when I think about just even other things I've gone through, domestic violence, you know, watching that occur, my dad was kind of an angry man when he was married to my mom. And that was really hard to find the words to talk about that. You know, there were happy points, but more bad than good. You know, talking about miscarriages, you know, infertility is one of those topics. We have lots of guests on, and we try to put a spotlight on that, both the woman's side and the man's side, but in some ways, there are certain topics that feel very taboo out there. Infertility, bankruptcy, divorce, right? We feel as though if we talk about them, that we're going to be put on the land of misfit toys. We're going to be, you know, somehow put in a box, you know, that is kind of casted away. And I'm here to tell you that, remember how I told you at the beginning that I am in awe of my guests that come on my show? I mean it. But when I go to, let's say, a networking group function, or when I meet someone at a party for the first time, or even if I'm interviewing someone to work at Living Full Out, when they share with me something personal in their life, you know, and it's not like they're like putting their drama on me, but when they're vulnerable, when they're honest, it feels like I've known that person my whole life. It feels like, wow, I just met you, you know, within this hour, but wow, I feel like I've known you for 10 years. And that's who you want to be. You want to be that solid rock. You want to be that person that others find inspiring. It's not about being perfect. It's not about checking all the boxes, having all the right answers. In fact, to many, that's intimidating. That's phony. You want to be in the lane, if you can find the words, you want to be in the lane where you're authentic, you're vulnerable, and really sharing your personal heartbreaks allows you to infuse purpose in your life, where you're able to, you know, inspire others or make a difference, or maybe even just give them an idea where they make a better decision. Now, I want to make sure that for all of you who, you know, need to hear today's show again, I know it was a sensitive topic, you know, do go to livingfullout.com. If you need support or resources, do reach out to us at connect@livingfullout.com. We stand beside you every step of the way in your journey to live full out. Know that I care about all of you, and really just wishing you all the best. We're here for you always. Here's to you living full out.
The Living Full Out family reminds you, if you find yourself in crisis, help is just a phone call away. Call 800-662-HELP. That's 800-662-4357. This number is active 24/7, 365 for individuals and family members facing mental and or substance use disorders. This service provides referrals to local treatment facilities, support groups, and community-based organizations. That number again, 800-662-HELP. Thank you for listening to the Living Full Out Show with Nancy Solari. To learn more about this program, visit livingfullout.com for the latest episodes. Connect with the Living Full Out community by following us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and subscribing to our YouTube channel. Here's to you, Living Full Out.